So if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. A familiar passage to us, familiar words. But again, we look to the Lord for revelation in terms of what it means, what we're looking for God to speak to us about. We'll start reading at verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now what I want to do, this message is the beginning of a series of messages that I want to bring, and I believe God wants us to really get stuck into in terms of study and meditation, which is being a money magnet, okay? Being somebody who is magnetized for money, financial blessing, supply, resources, wealth, cars, houses, all the things in life that we require to live in the 21st century. Being a money magnet. Now, it sounds very sensational and, you know, very sort of a, as if it would appeal to maybe, you know, sort of people who are just into outward trappings of success and so on. But being a money magnet is vital to the entire purpose and plan of God, which is to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth and to destroy the mammon system or mystery Babylon and usher in the kingdom age. So we, if you understand that Babylon, the destruction of Babylon, the fall of Babylon, which is spoken of in Revelation, that is something that is actually comes as the result of wealth transfer, i.e. the transferring of the power and influence and wealth and resources of the world from the hands of people who don't serve Jesus into the hands of those who do. So it's a wealth transfer from the sinner to the just, from the wicked to the godly. So in other words, God's people finally inherit the kingdom on earth and see the dominion that is promised to us in Scripture. And so wealth transfer is a big part of that. So in other words, in order for you to have wealth transferred from that system of Babylon and Mammon to you, you're going to have it magnetized. Okay? Now, I don't like calling this becoming a money magnet, because the reality is you can't become a money magnet. You either are a money magnet or you're not. The becoming a money magnet is something that happens at conversion. It's not something that, well, I'll learn a few principles, or I'll have hands laid on me, or I'll learn a few formulas and tricks, and all of a sudden I'll become a money magnet. No, you're a money magnet if you're a Christian. Now, the problem with being a money magnet is not that you can do anything to become one, i.e. that, you know, there's a course you go through. The reality is you are one if you're a Christian. Okay? It's what Christ did in Calvary that makes you a money magnet. The problem that we have is that even Christians can have their money magnetism switch turned off. So the reality is that your money magnet switch can be off even if you're a Christian. And sadly and tragically, even if you're a fervent Christian who's serving the Lord. Because when we see how the money magnet switch is turned on, you understand that it's not a matter of devotion, it's not a matter of attitude, it's not a matter of emotion, but it is a matter of something far deeper, which is it's a spiritual thing. And we see that as we read on here in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus says you can't serve God and mammon. Then he says this, next verse, 25. Therefore I say to you, Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns. In other words, they don't work, they don't have a job, they don't have a business, they don't have that type of function in life, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, in other words, it's a short life, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? And in this 21st century we say, how are we going to pay the rent, how are we going to pay the mortgage, how are we going to pay the petrol, how are we going to have enough money left over for train fare to work, how are we going to be able to pay Sky, how are we going to manage to get my mobile phone bill paid, especially as I ran up a big one last month. All the things of life that we worry about. Then he says, for after all these things the Gentiles or the nations seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Now there's a key statement from Jesus. Your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. Now, let me just say this to you. If I'm talking to you about being a money magnet, and I say to you that what Jesus said is, God knows you need these things. You need supply to function on planet Earth. Wouldn't it make sense to understand that God has done something about seeing to it that supply comes to you in such a way that it's magnetized to you? Wouldn't that just be God's way of doing it? Amen? Now, he then says this, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Alright? So, what does this tell us? It tells us, in the battle that you must win, to make sure that your money magnet switch is turned on, and that you're attracting things, that battle is not about pounds, shillings and pence, as much as it is a battle of spiritual realities. Alright? Jesus identifies serving mammon with worry or fear. Worry is where you meditate in fear about the things that you might lack. Well, it's whatever it is, day of the month, and I've got a bill due in 2 days' time. How am I going to manage to pay it? So you worry about it, you fret about it, you fear about it, you meditate on it. It grabs you, it won't let go, it dominates your thinking, and you worry about it. And some people, they worry about it all the time. They worry about every bill, every month. Amen? So, serving mammon is identified by Jesus as living in fear of lack all the time. Now, what's interesting, and it begs the question, is this: why do people who don't have a lot of money always worry about not having a lot of money? Okay, because that's serving mammon. You know, that's the rat race of life. That's, you know, how many people do you know that they don't have enough money at the end of the month? Month at the end of their money. They run out of money, maybe some people, a day after they get paid. Some people 2 days, some people a week. But there's always a point in the month where they maybe have to borrow to get to the next paycheck, or you know, you go to these places where you get these payday loans and stuff. The point being, why do people who don't have a lot of money always worry about not having enough money? And the answer to that question is, the reason that they don't have a lot of money is because they worry. Okay? People who have been gripped by fear to the extent that they start to live a cyclical lifestyle of poverty, lurching from one crisis to another, are people who have allowed fear of lack to get them to a place where lack begins to manifest in their lives. Remember Job. Job was blessed by God, and the Bible says that teaches us that there was a hedge around Job. And we think, oh, the devil went to God and says, oh, you know, this guy Job, let me at him. And God said, okay, I'll allow it. That's not what happened. That's not what happened. What happened is that God blessed Job, and God put a hedge of protection around Job so that the devil couldn't get to him. But Job tore the hedge down from inside. And why? Because he admitted, the things that I greatly feared come upon me. Now, what came upon him? He lost his family, he lost his business, he lost his wealth, he lost everything, he lost the respect of his everything, he lost everything. And he says, the thing I greatly feared. So Job feared loss, and he feared lack, and he feared that one day he would lose it all. Now, he feared so intensely that he pushed spiritual realities into a place where his fear began to manifest. And God, who is righteous, he couldn't lie about that anymore. I mean, God had a hedge around Job, but Job was tearing down that hedge faster than God was putting up. And God even had to admit to the devil, see, he's in your hand. Because God's not a liar, he can't lie about stuff like that. And the devil's more than that much about Job being protected by God, that he didn't notice what Job was doing. But once he did, once it was brought to his attention, Satan then used what Job was doing to attack him. In other words, Satan used the chink in Job's armour that Job himself had made. And how did he make that chink? By fear. Job was worrying. The Bible says he's making sacrifices every morning, I think it was, for his children. Now, what that means is every day Job was getting up and worrying about his children to the extent it pushed him to make sacrifices. We don't have a lot of faith in that. It was all done from a place of fear. Now, fear and faith are opposites, and you can prove that quite easily. Because if a doctor says to you, you've got cancer, the first reaction very often is one of fear, isn't it? Now, the reaction you need is one of faith, to say, in the name of Jesus, by his stripes I'm healed, this cancer will come to nothing, I curse it in Jesus' name. You know, you need a faith response, but very often the response is a fear one. So fear and faith are opposites. So if we follow spiritual logic and understand that Jesus here is saying, serving mammon is to be ruled by fear, then we then understand that serving God is to have a lifestyle which is dominated by faith. That you're not dominated by fear thoughts of Satan, but by faith thoughts of God. Now, when I first had a real financial breakthrough many, many years ago, the thing that the Lord said to me was this: be not need conscious, but be God conscious. Be God shall supply conscious. And the Lord showed me that the reason I was struggling was because I was conscious all the time of what I didn't have, of what I needed. And it's not consciousness of what you need that you need, it's consciousness of the supply. And when you flood your consciousness with that side of things, then you're no longer focusing on what you don't have, but you're focusing on what God is supplying you with. Amen? It is that simple. But here's the thing, okay? Jesus is teaching us. Now, what we miss is this. We miss what he said, how simple it is. He said, if you seek first the kingdom, what is the way out of living by fear? What is the way out of serving mammon? He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now, let me put it this way. Let's just look at it two ways. There's two ways of looking at this. Let's just say that you're a Christian, you've been saved, you've been born again, and the minute you're born again, that money magnet gets switched on. Alright? And you begin to automatically attract stuff that you need, because Jesus says, if you seek first the kingdom of God and righteousness, all these things shall be added. Tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, that Jesus was made poor so that we might be made rich. So that we might be rich. Okay? So we've gone through this process of the divine exchange, where Jesus has exchanged his riches and wealth as the Son of God for our poverty, and given us his status as the possessor of heaven and earth, yeah? So all of a sudden, that means everything starts being magnetised to us. Okay? Now, what could stop that? Fear. Fear attracts the opposite of blessing, doesn't it? So, let's just say that the magnet's working, but fear kicks in and starts to push those things away from us. Okay? And therefore, although God's pushing them towards us, we're pushing them away from us. That's one way to look at it. Or let's just say that the magnet only works when it's switched on, and then we begin to magnetise the things. They start coming towards us. Okay? But either we understand this, that something stops them being added to us. And that thing is fear. That thing is the mammon system. Now, what that tells us is the spirit of mammon and the spirit of fear are either one and the same, or are so close that it's hard to distinguish between the two. So if you're serving mammon, it means that you're dominated by fear. And you worry because you're meditating in fear all the time. And Jesus said the way out of that is to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, religious people look at that and they'll say, well, or in other words, let's put it this way. Jesus said the way to flip the magnet on so that the stuff starts coming towards you, or so that the stuff reaches you, is to seek first the kingdom. So the on switch is seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness. What does that mean then? Now here's what religious teaching tells us it means. Seeking first the kingdom of God means to put God's kingdom first, or put God first in all our dealings. And some will even say, well, when you get paid, pay your tithe and your offerings first before you pay every other bill. In other words, always put God first. Always look for God's interest first. Always be, you're trying to put God first in all your dealings. Now, I know people that do that religiously that are poorer than church mice. They never get ahead. And the things are not being added. Okay? They're not money magnets. They're still losing. Why? Because that's not what Jesus meant. What he meant was what it simply says. Seek first the dominion of God. Take out the word kingdom as being some kind of idea of a, you know, we sometimes have the sort of Sunday school idea of kingdom as being sort of castles in the sky, fairy tale, kingdom somewhere, like Oz, the land of Oz, or, you know, and we've got this sort of Michael Row the Boat Ashore, Kumbaya idea thing. But kingdom simply means dominion. Simply means where God rules, or how God rules, or the rulership of God. So when Jesus says, thy kingdom come, what he meant was, God's dominion come to earth. So simply means, in layman's terms, Jesus is saying, you need to find the thing that gives you dominion over worry, over fear, and over mammon. If you deal with the problem, which is worry and fear, you'll get rid of mammon. Because all these things will be... Mammon is keeping these things from you. Isn't he? Mammon is a spirit of lack. He's keeping these things from you. So if you seek dominion, what this means is, if you take authority over the thing that's the problem, then you'll stop the problem from stopping the stuff coming to you. The things will be added to you. The stuff will start flowing to you and being magnetised towards you. You'll start to see it come in and be manifest the minute you take dominion over the problem. You see that? And it says, and his righteousness. What does that mean? Well, most folks don't prosper because they feel they don't deserve to prosper. Or they feel they've not earned it. Now, prosperity biblically has nothing to do with either you've earned it or merited it. It's to do with the fact that you're blessed. And you're blessed by the favour of God, the unmerited grace and favour of God, not by your own deeds. See that? Especially in the New Covenant. So in other words, the righteousness, as an old-fashioned word, simply means your right to it. Now, I have a right to be wealthy and to have a billionaire blessing in my life, Abraham's billionaire blessing, which is a magnetising force. I have a right to that because Jesus took the curse for me. He bore the curse of the law, which is poverty, and he gave me Abraham's blessing. And he took the curse that Adam walked under, which was, by the sweat of your brow and by hard labour, you'll make the earth produce. Well, we don't live under that. We now live in sweatless prosperity. So that blessing is now mine. That ability to magnetise money effortlessly is now mine. Now, so how do we get this dominion? This authority, this ability to cast mammon out of our lives so that the stuff starts to flow freely. Whether it's, you know, sort of sitting there trying to get to us but there's a force pushing against it, or whether it's just sitting inertly just waiting for us to just say, like, come here. You see? Now, that the whole key is in that word, come here. Because that's taking dominion. And we don't like to think of it that way. We've got some silly ideas about prosperity, but sometimes it's just as simple as saying, come here. Now, let me put it this way. If Jesus says, if you've got problems in your life, as big as a mountain, and you tell them to go, they'll go. Surely, what's the other way? If you want mountainous levels of wealth in your life, you need to speak to them, tell them to come. Amen? Okay, you see? So here's how it happens. So Jesus says, you have to get authority, you have to take dominion. Seek that. Find that. See, that's the key. And when you absolutely saturate yourself and engulf yourself in the consciousness of that, that's when mammon will be kicked out. Now, very quickly, we're running out of time. Just do it this way. 1 John chapter 4. This is all throughout Scripture, and we're going to look at different places in Scripture. Once you see it from this Holy Spirit's point of view, you'll understand this. God has made us money magnets. That's how stuff gets to us. You know, now God is not printing pound notes in heaven. Does that make sense? If you want money, it has to be printed here now. Now, God may supernaturally give you stuff out of heaven in the form of diamonds and gold and silver, and that happens. And gold and silver can be exchanged for money, and gold and silver is a currency, as are jewels. But if you want, you know, £20 notes bulging out your wallet, they're going to have to come from earth. So they're going to have to be magnetised to you. Remember that book that was written a few years ago, The Secret, was all about the law of attraction? Well, the law of attraction is just a diluted way of speaking about this 100% proof stuff that we're looking at today, i.e. God's Word. So 1 John chapter 4, very briefly, it says this. You know the Scripture, but let's just read it. It says, verse 17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Or, I like the King James, herein is our love made perfect. Or, in this way our love is made perfect. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now, what is he? Who is he? He is the Lord. Is there any place where God falls down in dominion or authority? Is there any time God ever went short paying his bills? Does God have any problem with lack or poverty? Or he doesn't have any of these things. So as he is, so are we. See that? So in other words, what Jesus is saying is, seek first the dominion of God. Now remember when God made man in his likeness and he said, let us make man in our image or likeness. Remember back in Genesis? In Genesis chapter 1. And then he says, what's the first thing he says? And let them pick their nose. And let them go to football. And let them, you know, do whatever. No, first thing he said was, let them have dominion. What does that teach us? That the way, the closest way to describe some, in other words, that the most you can be like God, by God's own words, the best way that you can amply demonstrate his nature, his likeness, and be like him, is having dominion, because that's what he said, isn't it? He could have said all kinds of things, but he said, let them have dominion. You see that? He said, let them have dominion, which means that that's the way that you can be closest, the most like him. So in other words, Jesus said, seek that first. Didn't he? He said, seek that first. Get to the place where you're so saturated with, I'm just like him, and I have dominion. That it, so, and then once, when, see, there's something inside. It's got again here, it's got again here, but it all comes from here, from your mouth. You want to change your thinking, and the way you do that is you put God's word in your spirit, and the way, because your spirit will then renew your mind, but the way you do that is here, and that's where man has dominion, because man is the only creature that is given speech, given words, given language, given over vocabulary. So you take dominion by your mouth. So take dominion over poverty. In the name of Jesus, I cast poverty out of my life. I cast lack out of my life. I declare that superabundance is mine. Money supply is mine. God is my rapidly increasing money supply. So when you speak these things over and over, and you say, as he is, so am I. Well, the one that makes it work is the possessor of heaven and earth, the one that created everything. And he's the owner of everything. And the Bible says, you're just like he is, only in this world. You see that? You're one spirit with him. Now, just to say this in closing, because here's how it works. Now, if someone said to me, in what way can you most be like God? You wouldn't necessarily go in Genesis and say, to show dominion, would you? What we would probably say is to say, in loving, because God is love. Yeah? Well, that phrase, God is love, is in this chapter. And it says the same thing. Right? It says God is love in chapter, in verse 8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So, if God is love, and you are made in his image and likeness, then you're love. And when God says, let them have dominion, what does that teach us? It means love has dominion. So you're not wrong to say, well, the way that you most demonstrate being like God is to love, because God is love, yeah? But love is the thing that has dominion. Love is the one that has dominion. Now the next verse proves that, and it's the key to what Jesus meant. Because it says, verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has been made perfect in love. Perfect love casts out fear. So, if Jesus says, the thing you need to do is take dominion, you need to get the dominion of God. And the dominion of God will cast out mammon, will cast out fear. And it tells us perfect love casts out fear. He who walks in perfect love is the man or the woman who has dominion. So perfect love is the key to having dominion over mammon. Because if you kick out fear, you kick out mammon. And then all these things shall be added to you. So the key to having supply, the key to being a money magnet, is to walk in love and take dominion over the fear and cast out the fear. And love is you know, when you love, you have confidence in God, you have faith in God, you love God, you're enveloped in love, you're engulfed in love. But love is not some wishy-washy, mushy feeling. Love is another way of describing God's absolute authority and dominion over all, because love cannot fail. Love endures all things, bears all things. Love is indestructible, yeah? if you go and read what the Bible says about love, love is not some weak and mushy force. It's the most powerful thing there is, because God is love. So God is that agape love that lays down its life for another. Now, what you need in that love is repellent to fear. If fear repels the blessing of God, what you need to do is bring a superior force to repel fear, and that force is perfect love. So you see, as he is, so am I in this world. You can say, I'm perfect love, I cast out fear. I'm perfect love, I cast out mammon. I'm perfect love, I destroy the spirit of lack, I destroy poverty, I destroy debt. In the name of Jesus, I'm super abundantly blessed because I'm accepted in the Beloved. God is love, and I'm as he is in this world. I'm perfect love. See that? And that is the magnet. That's one way of looking at how you become a money magnet. But you don't become a money magnet. You already are. When I say become, what I mean is, that's how you flip the switch. Now, you know, I'm being pedantic with semantics. Really. But the reality is, you don't become that except one time, which is at the cross. And when you get born again, that money switch is switched on. But you see, if you go there and dwell in fear, the money switch gets switched off. So being a money magnet, it's all about flipping the switch to receive. And to do that, you need to cast out fear in your life. Amen? We're going to look at this subject even more in coming weeks. Amen.